Because prayers are more important than thoughts, aren't they? And prayer is a way that we can go directly to God with our request, or even ask Him to give us the peace that passes all understanding. Because life is challenging. Life is difficult. When we think that we got it all together, we really and truly don't. But one of the things about having a personal relationship with God, to be able to confess to God our faults and our sins and ask for forgiveness, and then more importantly, obtain salvation, eternal life through Christ. Well, if we've been out there floundering around in the world, there's a big word that sometimes we don't quite understand. In the Hebrew, it means return to God, and that word in English is repentance. Have you ever had that experience of driving around in a strange city or a strange land, whether you were driving and walking or whatever, and suddenly you realize you're going on the wrong direction, or you're on a one-way street? So what do you do? You don't have much time to make a decision. You got to repent. You got to turn around and go the right way. You can make a U-turn carefully. And it's very much like the idea that is given to us in the Bible, the idea of repentance. And you do this by saying, Lord, I think I'm on the wrong path. I think I'm on the wrong direction. Through the grace and the love of your Holy Spirit, Lord, help me to get back on the right track with forgiveness and confession and all that stuff that goes along with what our faith is. You know, repentance is motivated by the realization that we have taken the wrong way in life. Amen. I remember so many years, you know, I was raised in a good home and a good household, went to church and all that, and I got a little older, and I drifted away from some of those things and got back in the world. And when my life had become so topsy-turvy, I thought, oh, you know, it says in Proverbs, train up a child in the way they go, and when they get old, they won't depart from it. And I think that's what happened to me. I had those good seeds planted, and I started out on my own doing this and that, and all of a sudden life came apart, and I said, oh, I know where to go, but first I got to repent. Repent and ask God to help me with this new direction in my life. That's what happens. Repentance leads to forgiveness of sin. That's where I had to start. Repentance means being sorry for sin and being committed to a new way of life, serving God. Now, I did that. I served God as a layman for a long time, and it was a blessing. Never expected to go into the ministry, but God eventually led me that way, and I am so glad that I did. But repentance produces lasting change. And it's a wonderful way. If it is done sincere, the lasting change will be there with you. You know, so that salvation is at the end of that change. So while salvation is a one-time event, I think, because, well, you can't lose your salvation, but you can sure fall from God's grace. So you still probably have salvation, and you'll probably end up into the kingdom, but God will ask you, I don't think that you're ready for the kingdom. And He'll ask us a lot of questions. So the good thing is, while salvation is a one-time event, try to stay on God's path. It's easier, because God is pleased with a broken and contrite heart that is willing to confess and repent of sin. So confession and repentance of sin is a constant mark of the person walking in the light of the fellowship of God. You know, because the only sin that cannot be forgiven is the unpardonable sin, as Jesus talked about. But if you're worried that you might have committed the unpardonable sin, don't worry, you didn't. Because committing the unpardonable sin is separation from God. That's the unpardonable sin. And you don't have to be separated from God. Unfortunately, there's some people who have managed to do that. But you don't need to do that. Confess, ask for forgiveness, and the salvation is yours. And, you know, a lot of times we don't think we sin. Sometimes we sing, we might do that too, sin, and not realizing we're sinning at the time, and then the Holy Spirit will quicken in us, and all we got to do is confess it and ask God to forgive us, and He will always be there to call us back. So when you return to God, you receive the Holy Spirit. Now, you don't get Him in pieces. You get Jesus the Son, God the Father, and you get the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful blessing it is, you know. And that thing that then takes place is what we call reconciliation. I love that word, reconciliation. We need to do a lot of that. We're in a mess in our society. And to speak of reconciliation is to assume that a relationship had been broken. And there's a lot of broken relationships around us. And it might be a husband and wife, a father, a son, a daughter, close friends. You know, something happened to open that uncrossable chasm that we think, oh, no, I can't forgive them or I can't do that. Well, reconciliation becomes possible when somebody makes the first move. Hand extended, a phone call, a word spoken in forgiveness. The Bible teaches the sin that has separated us from God, that relationship is broken. And someone has to make the first move. God is always there. Guess who has to make the first move? Because we were never separated from Him by Him. We were separated from Him because of ourselves. All we had to do is say, oh, Lord, forgive me. That relationship was broken, Lord, and I need to be back in your fold. Put those loving arms around me. You know, while we are in the need of reconciliation, it is God who makes the move. God extends not just His hand, not just His word, but He extends His Son, Jesus Christ. I always like what John Wesley said about the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is always wooing us into that love relationship with Him. So, it's go back to looking at John the Baptist. It's been 30 years since those events in chapter 2, where John the Baptist was talking about all the things and preparing the way. And his theme when he was here was, turn from your sins and turn to God. And he meant that we must do a 180-degree turn in the way that we have been living. How about you? I'm constantly chasing my tail. But, you know, I want to turn and go the right way. But before we can turn towards God, we must recognize that we are turning away from Him and begin with a confession of our sin, as I mentioned earlier. Admit that we're going the wrong direction. I need your help, Lord. And once we turn around and see God, God, through the grace and the love of the Holy Spirit, not only dealt with sin through His Son, Jesus Christ, but He will direct our lives in the way that He intended right from the beginning. Oh, eternal life. Well, we hope and pray that you had a good Thanksgiving, and thank you for letting me ramble here a little bit. And I was thinking about that, but as I brought the message in Matthew's Gospel with John the Baptist, and I was thinking about repentance, and I think it's important that we not afraid of the word repentance and not afraid of the word reconciliation, because God loved us so much that He reconciled the world to Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. Well, we have some prayer requests. Joanne 2, we affectionately call her Joanne 2 because Joanne George is Joanne 1. We had a couple people in the church that have the same name, so not that we're designating them one or two in that order, but the word two, Joanne 2, not, anyhow, T-O-O. Anyhow, she had put a prayer request in, and we come into a prayer of agreement with her and for her for her family member, and it's also on the prayer request type on the bulletin. we made the decision and we cleaned up that prayer request, and I hope and pray we didn't take anybody off that wanted to be taken off, but there was a lot of people on there that had prayer requests that was answered, or they went home to be with the Lord, and we prayed for their family and friends. So intercessory prayer is a very important part of the Christian life, and we lift that up, and we come into a prayer of agreement with and for all of those who are in need of prayer. You know, one thing about prayer, you don't need an 800 number. You don't have to have this or that. You can go directly to the throne of grace and say, Father, I want to talk to you. I need to pray. I need to talk. Because you have direct access to God. Can you imagine? That's what Jesus did when he hung on the cross and he gave up the ghost. When that happened, the veil in the temple was broke in two. Now, that veil in the temple was to keep everybody out, because only the priest could go in. So you had to go to the priest and say, I need this, and I want you to talk to God for me. And yeah, we would. But we don't have to do that anymore. We can talk to God ourselves, and God answers, and he ministers to us, and we thank him for that. And we thank you when the disciples realized that Jesus went off to talk to God himself. And one day the disciples said, well, you talk to Daddy? Yeah, I talk to Daddy. Can we talk to Daddy? Yeah, we can talk to Daddy. Well, tell us how. And Jesus said, this is a model prayer for all of your prayers to line up with as we pray that prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. God don't lead us into temptation. The devil does. So we pray this prayer, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And he will do that. And he will do it for the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever, in Jesus' name. Thank you for listening, and thank you for loving this little church called Bethel and her people. And we're grateful for you, and we thank you, and we give you the glory, Jesus, for all of your people here at Bethel. God loves you, and so do we.